If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
All right, we're back after the Easter weekend. It's Tuesday morning. Tech Tuesday is back, and Stephen Sykes is with me. Hi, Stephen. I hope you had a good weekend.
Yeah, I did. Thanks. Lots of chocolate bunnies died.
Did they?
But it was a good cause.
What about the eggs?
Yeah, a few of those got consumed as well.
Yeah.
I've got one of those anatomies that I can consume what I like and my size doesn't change.
Oh, you're a lucky person.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start, as we normally do, with some of the feedback to the program. Who's been getting in touch?
Just a few items this time, which is kind of all right because we've got a lot to talk about today with the dark web, but we'll get there. I'm just going to say the dark web lots of times in order to tease your appetite. So,
okay, so
wait just there. So somebody writes in and says, "Hi, Paul, we love watching the Super Rugby and notice the players are now wearing mouth guards that have some sort of Wi-Fi in them to detect head knocks. We have been told never to put yourself into your ear because of brain damage. Is this not similar to these mouth guards, or are we not correct? Would love your take on this." Absolutely. In fact, it's kind of worse because when you've got a phone up to your ear, your skull protects to a very small degree the radiation coming from the phone. That's why giving phones to kids is a really, really awful thing to do. But in terms of these mouth guards, they're inside your head. So, you know, it's a quick trip from your mouth to straight into your brain.
So they haven't thought of that. They hadn't factored that in, pushing these into the mouths of rugby players.
So it's okay to radiate your brain, but it's not okay to give it a knock.
Yeah, well, you probably don't notice the radiating for a period of time, but you'd notice the knock pretty quickly.
You would.
Okay, well, it's funny because haven't we got by without this sort of thing for a long time, for decades?
Yeah, and like American
football. And don't you just know the risk that you're taking if you're playing a game like that anyway?
American football, they wear helmets, they wear a body armor and all that kind of stuff. I mean, they intentionally run at each other with the intention of smacking hard into them, but because I think the armor's going to, you know, take care of all of that, but no, we don't do that. We don't wear protection of that nature for rugby.
Yes, probably a case to be made for helmets.
Yeah. Goodness knows what other parts of your body somebody might use a helmet as a battering ram to.
Well, you know, the cricketers have a guard for particular things.
They do.
Okay. What else? Who else?
Somebody had said, what about those who fill up a trolley and just walk out without paying any attention of paying, which I guess happens too. It's the same thing as, you know, at the self-checkouts and you walk out thinking you'd paid, but you hadn't. But I guess that still happens. And the final item of feedback is that, Paul, I'm another fanboy of you and Stephen's Tech Tuesday. I just don't have any intelligent input for you, LOL.
Okay, well, that's nice. Yeah. All right, let's, before we go to the dark web, should play some sort of ghosty theme when we say that. We'll get onto that in just a moment. Some of the news and issues in no particular order. The big story I noticed this week, we had it in our Bytes News, Chinese have been spying on us, apparently.
Yeah, and been doing it.
Though they deny it.
Oh, of course, that's the natural reflex. And of course, with anything like this, I think people are well conditioned to thinking that anything we are told is worse than it seems. And as soon as I came across this news, I thought, like, I take my hat off and congratulate anybody who chose to not do their census. Even though this was in 2021, before the census kind of really happened, it's like, well, we're told that there was an attempt to hack the government, and that's the key word. Now, of course, when you listen to these sorts of things, you go, well, you're saying these words, but what are you missing out? What are you not saying?
Attempted to hack means what?
Attempted to hack means like they were able to detect an attack, but the attack wasn't successful.
Do we believe that?
That's up to the individual to make that choice, I think. So I think given the stories I keep telling about various systems that keep getting compromised and data breaches happening left, right, and center, it would be unwise to ever believe that our government, or any government for that matter, would be immune to any of this.
It also coincided with the Chinese, some Chinese nationals, I think, being expelled from Fiji for spying. And that was within the week of that too. So I wonder if these things are connected. I had a listener point that out, that timing, and you know, that Judith Collins came out and told us about what happened here, allegedly, you know, a day or so after that news broke in Fiji.
Yeah, you kind of wonder, like, if some spies are rogue spies or they're unofficial. They're taking their own back.
And the Chinese ambassador denied it. So
yeah,
who do you believe? All right, what's this? Lawyer gives up Teslas due to privacy concerns.
Yeah, so a lawyer by the name of Tobias Olbrich on X says, I gave up all my Teslas, which I loved, as I figured out that all the cameras, micros are always on recording and transferring to Tesla servers. As I wanted to disconnect, you practically are not able to drive. As a lawyer, I need to have private space to talk secrets with clients, also in my car or outside my car, without being recorded and stored by third parties. As long as they are collecting all data like this and the user cannot turn it off by choice, I will not drive Tesla again. Sorry. Nice wow. Car, but collecting private data forever is a no-go.
It's feeding all the time, these servers, including the video.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's not just Tesla's. We know that's collecting data, and we talked about the privacy with cars as a whole some months ago. But Tesla has more technology than most cars, which is why the privacy around those vehicles is worse.
People but if, that, if they're taking video feeds from how many cars have they got out there now? It must be, you know, in the millions. Boy, that's a huge capability, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Cars like that aren't cars. They're a computer that you get inside of.
Yeah. Yeah, well put. Wow. Who needs spy software when you've got a Tesla?
Yeah, yeah.
Good point too. Yeah, you need your privacy if you're a lawyer, for sure. Aussie Senate bill, digital ID, it passes. And it will be extended to the private sector, which kind of is fascistic, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's too close to home because we tend to adopt things that Australia adopts first 1 or 2 years later on. And the fact that it still happened anyway, despite the opposition about having a fair debate and discussion, clearly is worrisome. But I think and I hope that it will just explode because they'll implement it poorly. But there's one question that I would like somebody who thinks digital IDs is a good idea. What happens when your digital ID gets pinched? So in the case where your credit card, debit card or whatever gets compromised, and not necessarily because you've stored it with some online merchant, which then gets compromised and your details are released, because there are people out there whose sole job is to go and work out the numbers on your card, the bank will give you a new card. And then you carry on. And if you're lucky, you get reimbursed for any fraudulent activities that occurred on your card. So what happens in the context of your digital ID when exactly the same thing can happen? Then what?
I guess they've got a plan for it. I haven't heard anything that describes what you do there. What, a new digital ID is issued? Cancel the old one.
You still need to prove that you are you.
You don't have your digital ID anymore.
Exactly, which means you need to have some other type of ID, which is recognized.
And for people who don't want to operate within that system, I think the reporting said that this had to be done with consideration for people who didn't want to be in the system. But that's what they say now.
Yes. It's like when in the beginning, when cell phones turned up, or even the smartphones, in the beginning it was considered as something as an extra. You know, you could make phone calls from anywhere or be called wherever you are, and it would be nice. And now things evolve to the point whereby everyday life is tricky without one because you're expected to have one.
Yep. Well, remember COVID and the vaccine passport.
Exactly.
If you didn't have a cell phone, you had to have a piece of paper, did you?
Well, you tended to write down, well, they had forms where you wrote down a name and address and a phone number. And of course, you could put down anything you wanted.
But you had to get in. You know, most of it, access was through the QR code, right?
Yeah, although I know of places, and there's a petrol station I'm thinking of where somebody went in, didn't have their phone on them, and then they didn't have the paper-based system set up, so they went in and left, and there was no official record of their being there.
They could have killed Granny.
They could have, all of them at once.
I will never forget the desperation that I've seen in the eyes of people trying to get their cell phone out of their purse or bag and get it, you know, held up to the QR code to get in. It was like, you know, like, let me in, let me in.
My life depends on it. Please accept my pass.
When I saw that, I knew that there might not be any going back from that.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Because of this convenience thing. Now, with the Aussie digital ID, you can see that at some point, depending on the scale of it, how many Aussies are signed up to this thing, and if it's sold on convenience and people accept the convenience, there'll be a lot. The next step is, well, we might as well have this digital currency.
Yeah.
Because there's enough people in the zone now to directly connect with currency, right?
And I imagine, too, they potentially might play the early adopters rewards type system whereby, oh, so you're using this system, we'll give you discounts on groceries and goodness knows what else in order to entice you to buy into the system.
It's KFC like, vouchers.
I was exactly going to say KFC. Yeah. Roll up your sleeve and we'll give you diabetes in the form of KFC or whatever.
All under the heading of staying healthy.
Yeah, that's what, yeah.
The clown world. Yeah, but you can see the creep, the potential for the creep.
Absolutely. There. Exactly. And it's the frog in the hot water scenario, right?
Well, it's beyond cold now. We're probably halfway to, well, we're maybe approaching the simmering point.
Yeah, we're almost a boiled frog.
Yep. And there will be a division too between those who accept it and those who don't.
Yep, that's right.
Because it'll be a quasi-religious acceptance. It'll not be in the group.
It'll be the two-tier society like what got introduced on December the 3rd back in whatever year that was now.
Yep, I know what you mean. All right, so that's interesting. AI pilots in jet planes. It was only a matter of time.
So the USA have the capacity to use artificial intelligence to pilot their military fighter planes. That was talked about in a February 2023 announcement by the United States Department of Defense and their research agency called DARPA.
So DARPA, oh dear.
They've put their software in a modified F-16 in December 2022, and the software was able to autonomously control multiple flights over a few days.
So why are they training Ukrainians, so-called, to fly F-16s when they can fly them by AI?
Well, for the time being, those pilots still have a job.
Yeah, something doesn't add up here.
Well, because what they're going to end up doing later on this year, there was an interview with the defense program in a publication, the New American Security, said that for artificial intelligent planes, these F-16s are going to participate in a live dogfight around Lake Ontario later this year.
The thing is that there's no need to dogfight anymore. It's yesterday's warfare. The warfare on now is drones and hypersonic missiles. And if you see those horrible videos and I don't go looking for them, but they come up sometimes and I see them. They've got like small drones chasing individuals on the battlefield or dropping into the top of the tank or doing all sorts of things.
Yes, you might
recall. And they can all be networked and flown in swarms and everything. That is where warfare is. Forget about fighter jets. That was World War II in Vietnam.
You might recall several Tech Tuesdays ago, I talked about swarms that can hone in on a target and all coordinate to take the target out. And even if some of the drones lose sight, then they're able to, with the ones that can see, tell the other ones where to go. And so they can potentially follow you, say, in a forest.
There's really no getting away from that in the end. You used to be able to, you know, find cover or hide, but not now. Not with the Halo cameras.
Because the US Department of Defense also have trained eagles to take out drones.
Yeah. Well, they can see from so far away.
Well, I find it ironic that they create all this technology for deadly purposes, and then they're turning to Mother Nature to take them out.
Yeah. I wonder if we're going to see, because there are a lot of redundant F-16s on the desert floor in Arizona, probably 500 or 600 of them.
Yeah.
I've seen them lined up. They could all be AI'd. You don't have to risk the pilot anymore. You could fly those as kamikaze flights.
Yes.
Under AI, packed full of explosives. Just saying, don't want to be giving them any ideas. Okay, and before we get on to the dark web, the anniversary of Gordon Moore's death, I think within the week, a year ago. Why do I know that name?
Because Gordon Moore was a co-founder of the chip manufacturer or designer Intel, along with his, he created Moore's Law, which is what you've probably heard of.
Yeah.
And so Moore's Law, originally came up with it in 1965, and he said that the number of transistors on an integrated circuit would double every year. And this goal sort of helped push the semiconductor industry forward, not from a physics perspective, but from an engineering perspective. And then in 1975, he revised his law, and he predicted a doubling of transistors every 2 years. And there's still plenty of debate going on about this, because some people say, well, okay, Moore's law is no longer applies. It's true that the CEO of NVIDIA, who's a graphics card manufacturer, said in September 2022 that Moore was dead, but the current Intel CEO said that it's still kicking.
I'm just trying to imagine the manufacturing process behind, because we're talking about hundreds of millions of transistors in a small space now, aren't we? Or the equivalent of, is that correct?
Yep, yep.
How you do that?
Well, you can only get so small before you start getting transistors roughly the size of atoms.
Yeah, quantum dots or whatever they call them.
And then, of course, you pack them all together and run some electricity through it, and, of course, they get hot.
Yeah. I remember the earlier days of transistors, because they had a mate of mine who used to make a lot of electrical equipment, like amplifiers and things like that, you know, from the electronics magazines. Mm-hmm. They would have sections in them, and, you know, they'd tell you how to make an amp or a or this or that. And you go out to, there was a shop in Wellington called Wiseman's, where you could go and buy all the components, and you could etch your own circuit board, you know, and all those sorts of things. And, you know, transistors were actually like, you know, something that looked like something.
Yeah, there was something that you could hold.
With little sort of wiry legs that soldered in.
Yep, three legs.
And now, you know, you might have 20 or 30 or something on the board. Now we're talking hundreds of millions.
Mm-hmm. All in a small space.
I'm always fascinated by the manufacturing process behind products like that, you know?
They've got a really massive shoehorn. They just cram them in there.
Well, how do you see what you're doing?
Really good magnification.
Must be, eh? Gee, always impresses me. All right, and He died, but he made it into his 90s, didn't he?
Yeah, 94.
Okay.
So he co-founded Intel with his friend, his longtime friend, Robert Noyce, in 1968. That's when they started up Intel. And, you know, the first chip they made was the Intel 4004, which could do exactly four things: add, subtract, multiply, and divide. That was it.
Okay. I can see how that could work, though.
Yeah, it was also
used as a calculator right there.
Yes, although it needed external chips in order to remember the calculations, because the chip could only do those mathematical calculations and nothing else. That's it.
Okay.
Despite that, they still made it into traffic light controllers.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I suppose that's the functionality you need for the light combinations, is it?
I suppose it is.
Yeah. Well,
back in the day.
All right, so let's move on to the dark web. Already it sounds mysterious.
Well, if you bring along your glow worms, we'll shine the light on this. The dark web, you know, does have a bad rap. Things are seldom ever actually only black and white, and that couldn't be more true of the dark web. People think the dark web is some kind of evil construct that the legacy media and any random TV program or movie tries to have you believe. Of course, this is not helped by people like Darth Vader, whose name actually translates to Dark Father, and he's got a bit of a reputation for being an evil scallywag. So while illegal things do happen on the dark web, it's not the whole story. Of course, that's what you tend to hear about. And I think partly this is because of a failing of the English language. The dark web is called that in the same sense that nighttime is dark, right? There's having no light or no clarity or things that are unknown or obscure, and you can't see everything that's there, except maybe your shins might find a coffee table in the middle of the night if you go wandering around.
Yeah.
But basically, in the context of the dark web, it just means that it's an internet platform where the identity of users gets obscured.
Is it an actual platform, or is it distributed, you know, bits and pieces that make up some sort of platform?
Yeah, it's distributed. It makes up the minority of what is considered to be the internet. If you think about who might use the dark web, it's people who want to prevent the collection of private information to keep the average user invisible. It helps to protect against our information becoming hijacked and used against us, and that's never been more important with all the data breaches that keep happening. Like, for example, you know, social media sites are prime examples of when apparently private conversations, you know, being breached. You've also got journalists who travel the world writing about all kinds of conflict, or maybe even human rights violations. So they need a way to communicate with other journalists and also with their publications or even with their sources, because if, you know, that gets compromised, then things get really difficult for journalists who are actually trying to expose actual evil in the world. So the dark web allows a way for information to be transmitted securely. So you can do emails and chat. Can be transmitted without fear of being blocked. So if you're in a country like China or Iran or other countries like that, the internet is actively monitored and suppressed. And so people who live in those countries can use the same access given by the dark web to communicate with people in the outside world.
So how do you get to the dark web?
Well, we're going to get to getting to how you get onto the dark web, but we need to have a proper appreciation for everything. I think we need to have a history lesson, because then you get a deeper understanding of everything. Because, you know, most people say, "Oh, the dark web, it's evil." So the idea is, like, if I can help people get a deeper understanding of stuff, then the next time it comes up at a conversation around the water cooler, you go, "Hang on, no, the dark web's not what you think it is. It's quite different indeed." So this means we have to have a history lesson as to how the internet started. Okay, so the internet and the dark web aren't the same thing.
We'll come up against time shortly. So maybe as much of that history lesson as you can get in, and if there's more, we can pick it up in our next program. So how does that sound?
Okay, so I'll use an iceberg, okay? So there's a thing called the deep web as well. That's estimated to make up 90% of the actual internet, although no one really knows because it's all hidden stuff. That's a good thing because having your data in the deep web means it's not indexed by search engines, and therefore it's not available to anyone who simply searches for it. So a lot of this content is hidden behind a login of some sort, okay? So if you think of it like an iceberg, the stuff that you can browse easily on the internet and not log into anything, that makes up 10%. The stuff of the iceberg that's above the water. Now, the very bottom of the iceberg, you'd call that the dark web. So that makes up roughly 5% at the bottom of the iceberg analogy. Mm-hmm. But again, it's difficult to know exact numbers. And the dark web is not a single place. It's a concept that describes several different online networks. So when you think of, for example, social media sites like Facebook, Instagram, X, Snapchat, MySpace, all those ones, they're not all the same system, even though they've got, you know, similar goals in mind about spreading ideas and stuff. But to the end user, to you and me, if you talk about Facebook, you know you're talking about Facebook. You know you're not talking about Instagram or something else. So it's the same thing with the dark web. There's all kinds of dark web networks, and they all provide a different functionality.
Gotcha.
So I think next time we'll begin the history of the internet, and then we can see how the dark web ended up fitting into the picture.
Look forward to that. That should Fantastic. Be interesting. It's like the story will unfold. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, the story will unfold. That's why I say it's important to have a deeper discussion about it rather than just touch the surface web, for one of the
Yeah, I've heard mainstream media report things like doing the rounds on the dark web. You know?
Yeah.
Okay, that's another Tech Tuesday. Thank you, Stephen Sykes. We'll be back again next Tuesday. And again, feedback, issues, news, and we'll continue the story of the dark web.
Sounds good to me.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.